107.9 Life FM, more music, and each Friday we have a guest joining us here at the studios, finding out a little bit about how they're helping others in life. Certainly a great guest. I hope you can stick around and hear some of the great heritage and the impact on education, in particular in Bangalore, that Jonathan and his family have been involved in. Our guest this morning, part of Bright Futures, is Jonathan Paul Raj. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Good morning, Jean, and good morning, Adelaide.
Yes, and welcome to Adelaide, your second visit, I believe.
Yes, this is my second, and it's pretty cold.
It is cold, pretty cold.
But it's been wonderful.
Tell me, what's it like in Bangalore, which is home for you? Is it a cold place, a warm place?
Bangalore is very moderate, very, very moderate climate, and just like its people, pretty warm. But we are very crowded back there. We have about 8.5 million people living in the city. And a lot of life and a lot of things happening.
That's good to hear. And you've got a lot happening too, and a real passion for education, which we're going to hear this morning. I want to actually start back really with your father's story, because you've taken on what he started in educating some of the poor people in Bangalore. So tell us about your dad.
Well, my dad was a pastor. He was an exemplary man. He inspired a lot of people. He was from a very, very poor background in a very, very remote village in India. And he had the opportunity of an education because of a missionary couple. He was out there in the fields grazing his father's sheep. And there were this lovely missionary couple from Canada who were walking past his village coincidentally. They saw him reading a book, trying to read a book, in fact, probably looking at the pictures. And they went up to him and asked him if he wanted to study. And he was excited about it. They went straight to his father's house. And then they asked if they could take him away to give him an education. And they put him in a boarding school. And that's where they educated him. Through that education that he had, he went on to found Bangalore City Mission, which in turn educates hundreds of children. And in fact, he named the school Sinclair's after the Canadian couple.
That's a great honour to that couple. And as you say, just coincidentally, he happened to be sitting under the right tree reading a book. You know, as a pastor, though, and as people of faith, we don't really believe in coincidences. And, you know, sometimes untimely things happen. Your father passed away, and then all of a sudden you had the opportunity, and I guess the awesome opportunity to take on from your dad. What did that feel like?
Oh, it was scary at the start, I would say. You know, and because it was quite an unexpected death. You know, I was working at that time. I was in quite a large, in fact, the world's largest medical transcription company based in Bangalore, and risen pretty fast in the company as a manager. And, you know, and that time when at the office, you know, I felt a kind of emptiness inside of me, and I wanted to do something more for the Lord. And, you know, and I said, though I was always helping Dad and Mom out in what they were doing, there was always that feeling of emptiness inside of me that I was not doing enough for the Lord was always there. And I remember writing to my dad at that time, who was in the US, and I said to him, Dad, I don't want to stay here anymore. You know, I want to join you in the ministry. And he would say, no, you can't do that because your income is very important for the family, you know. And I wrote to him a second time and I got the same answer. He said, if you are expecting a salary from me, forget about it because I can't afford it. And I remember telling him, you just feed me and I'll do the work. You know? And I wrote to him a third time. And at that time, I don't know what he thought, but he said, you pray about it and you make your own decision. And I prayed about it that night, and you know, I never slept that whole night. The next day morning, the first thing I did was submit my resignation. My superiors were surprised. You know, they said that I had grown so fast, and I was foolish to throw away my job. But I told them that you know, I felt I had a higher calling. But then I realized that in 7 days' time, my dad returned from the States, and in another 11 days, he passed away. You know, and it was so sudden and shocking. You know, I thought at that time that was the biggest mistake I did, but I did not know that God was preparing me for a huge task ahead.
Yeah, and so what does that task involve for you now?
Well, it involves caring for the 16 children that my dad and mom had adopted. It involves taking care of a school of 600 underprivileged kids, you know, a full-fledged school from nursery up to 10th grade. It involves an array of community development work involving healthcare, adult literacy, vocational training, clean drinking water, self-help groups, and renewable energy projects in different villages. And it also involves a lot of church activities. Yeah, in fact, at that time, I was kind of scared. You know, I was scared of how I will run this, how I will feed my kids, how I will, you know, support my staff and all that. Because I never knew how Dad was doing these things, you know. And I was, I remember lying on my bed for 5 days, not even wanting to get up, not wanting to meet people. But I was praying all the time, and God spoke to me through His word in the book of Chronicles. He said, "The battle is not yours, but mine. You remain still and know the salvation of the Lord." And I feel that's what I've did since, you know.
And, you know, to people listening now, we know how important it is to have work, to have a job so we can provide for our families. And sometimes that's a challenge in Adelaide. But we're talking about people who have severe poverty. And for a worker, okay, you want to be fed, but all these kids, is that part of what drives you to keep doing it as well, is that you see how these children are being nurtured, not only physically, but also in their education and also spiritually?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I believe there are two ends to poverty. One is the physical part of it, and the other is the spiritual poverty. And I think spiritual poverty is worse than physical poverty, you know, because physical poverty can, you know, can be corrected, can be helped. And unless God intervenes in the life of a person, his life is really empty without God. So we definitely believe in both of them. And we have taken a lot of steps to kind of handle that. You know, in school, for example, we have scripture as one of our main subjects. You know, kids study scripture as one of the subjects, and they write exams. And we have had many situations where kids not only being accepting Jesus themselves, but also influence their families to accept Jesus and, you know, becoming Christians. And in our church, we've had many families of our kids being added in. So, and not only working with the kids, even with the communities, we've always preached the gospel and made sure that, you know, we've addressed the spiritual need of people as much as we've worked with the social needs.
Well, from the slums of Bangalore to Adelaide Life FM studios, we're chatting this morning with Jonathan Poraj. We're going to find out a little bit more about his work. And I'd love to hear, in particular, one of the stories, you know, taking it back to one child and how you've seen their life or their family's life impacted. We're back after this song. Hope you can stick around. It's 107.9 Life FM.